some of us grew up in the 60s. Some of you had grandchildren in the 60s even. Just kidding. And some of you weren't even thought of by then. But in the 60s, do you remember what all that was? That was the age of Aquarius. What? You know, that was the age of so-called enlightenment, harmony, and understanding. People often ask the question, what's your sign? And of course, that referred to the 12 houses of the zodiac. And the question was often an attempt to find out what you were like, what your personality traits were. For you see, in astrology, your birth date identifies what position the stars occupied relative to Earth. And that supposedly, when you entered the consciousness, supposedly determines what pathway that your life would follow. Things like who you would marry, what you would do for a living, and when even you would die could all supposedly be figured out by your zodiac position. Well, of course, in the singles bars, that was more of an opening line as opposed to an inquiry of your astrological bent, so I'm told, research only. And you know, there's another question that's been floating around in the charismatic movement of the church for the last 2 decades or so, and that question is, what is your gift? The question is about spiritual gifts, and it can be both good and bad. What is your gift is a bad question when we're talking about Christians identifying themselves with gifts that are more noticeable or more popular, and they're boasting of personal accomplishments, a kind of spiritual merit badge collection. On the other hand, what's your gift is a good question when the answer is preceded by a prayer. Lord, show me how I can be helpful in your kingdom. And that's something that we should all be doing. It should happen frequently in our churches. It should be happening right here in this church. Lord, show me how I can be helpful in your kingdom. Conversation begins. Pastor, I wonder if there's any part of ministry around here that can use some help. I haven't heard that lately, but this is a hypothetical situation, I guess. And the pastor responds, well, what's your gift? And the person who asked the question originally says, well, let's be in prayer about that. And they pray together, Lord, how can I be of help in your kingdom? As today, there was in Paul's day a lot of questions about gifts. So open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, and we'll see how Paul answered the questions of highly gifted but somewhat dense congregation in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts. Now, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men and women. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another by faith the same Spirit. And to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Well, there are a couple of things worth noting in Paul's introduction. First, he asks the Corinthian believers to remember their pagan past. They had been steeped in idol worship. And in that day, ecstatic frenzies were a part of temple idol worship. Worship that is entirely emotional driven can wind up in some pretty wild stuff. Do you recall the Canadian-born laughing revival? It was a phenomenon that was sincere in desire. The desire was that for more Christians in the community to have a little lighter spirit about them in worship. However, it wound up a laughing stock. The people simply sat giggling and lying in the aisles, and some running and laughing wildly during worship. It was an emotional frenzy, not a God-honoring time of praise. Now, Methodists on the whole are not in any danger of going off the emotional deep end. Deadly formal churches, however, need to check for a pulse to see if the Spirit has departed. And the so-called Spirit-filled churches that are really emotionally driven parties need to check upon their motivation and inspiration to see if there's any real God in it. An easy way to check is to take an honest inventory to see how much of me is in it. Because the simple equation has always been the more of me there is in anything, the less there is of God. In light of that principle, let's look at what we should be doing concerning our spiritual gifts in this church. And y'all have been granted spiritual gifts of some kind. I think there are three actions that we can undertake in our lives to be obedient to God's desire for His spiritually gifted children. First, we got to identify what our gifts are, what our spiritual gifts are. Now, God has gifted all humans with natural talents, abilities such as math or art or building or healing, abilities in music or speaking. But talents are not spiritual gifts. On the other hand, spiritual gifts may match up with the natural talents that a person possesses. When I was younger, I didn't particularly care to speak in large groups. I really preferred listening to talking to anyone. But God led me into a business after my Air Force career that required me to speak to others individually and as couples come together, and even in large groups. And I got to the point where I enjoyed sharing ideas and concepts and truths with others, and I became more comfortable being in front of a large group. You see, that was a God incident in my life. Without that experience, I would not be where I am today. God used that and other experiences in my life to draw me into pastoral ministry. He helped me develop my spiritual gifts, and I didn't even know it was happening. Now, the difference between talents and gifts is seen primarily in the way they're used. Talents are generally used to the benefit of the possessor. A spiritual gift, on the other hand, is given by God for the building up of God's body. For instance, someone who is good at talking may have a talent. And if he serves the church with that talent, he may convince a lot of people of his views and build a great following. But is there any God in it? On the other hand, if his preaching is a spiritual gift, he will be compelled to communicate the gospel and to build up the body of Christ. A music minister or a soloist who does church work because they love music is satisfying a personal need to be involved by expressing a talent. A spiritual gift in the area of music will be used to bring glory to God. One way that you can recognize a spiritual gift is when or if it complements other areas of Christian life. There was a rich man in the church. Well, there always is. And everyone imagined his spiritual gift was stewardship. For years, he came to church on Easter and Christmas, Mother's Day once in a while, and that was it. Whatever gift that man had, it wasn't stewardship, because a good steward is found faithful, not only with money, but in his worship, in his witness, in his service, and in his love. Now, in starting to identify your spiritual gifts, a good place to begin would be your sense of motivation. What lights your fire when it comes to serving God? Start with a list of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Which of those makes your heart pound just a little bit faster? And then we need to involve your spiritual gifts in service. Kent Hughes in Leadership Magazine said, "There are too many needful things to be done to wait around for someone to feel gifted." Remembering that spiritual gifts are given by God for the purpose of building up the church, we must also say that once you identify what your gift is or your gifts are, you need to put them to use in the body of Christ. Tools left in the toolbox gather spider webs and rust, and eventually they're thrown out. At the very least, they're only a collection and not a blessing. Frankly, I would rather accomplish one thing by using my spiritual tools badly than to boast of 20 spiritual gifts and never be a blessing to God's kingdom. My biggest hope is that when I get before the Lord and I'm standing there and Jesus comes up alongside and says, "Father, this is Mark. He's one of us." My hope is that he'll say he's done all he could with what we have given him. Involving those gifts can be as simple as showing up at worship and Sunday school each week, ready for whatever God wants you to do. And the key words there are ready for whatever God wants you to do. Remember, spiritual gifts are those talents and abilities that God has given. And God somehow takes each of our gifts and uses them for his purpose. So we're not just sitting here listening to somebody talk. We're here expecting the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and our minds and our souls so that we'll see our spiritual gift, recognize it, and want to share that in the building up of the kingdom. You know, God didn't intend any one person to do all the work. No one can do it alone. But if we all do what we can, the unattainable becomes attainable, and the church can be all that God intended it to be. And then we need to improve our gifts. And how do we do that? Through prayer. Oh, and practice. When I started preaching, I was occasionally, now very occasionally, mind you, accused of needing some improvement. This one lady would comment on my sermon every week. "It was too scattered. I couldn't follow what you were talking about." Or, "What in the world were you talking about today?" Or whatever. But you know what? When I left that church, that lady said to me, "You know, God does answer prayer." I said, "Yes, I know that." She says, "No, listen." She confessed that she had prayed each week that I would really improve in my preaching skills. And she was right. I did get better. And I got better because of her prayer and my practice. Well, I say I got better. If you're wondering, you should have been there in the beginning. But that's the way it is in the church, and especially with spiritual gifts. It's a group project. Prayer and practice. Prayer and practice. What is your spiritual gift? Are you improving that with prayer? Are you improving that with prayer and practice? Paul said that we build up the body, but we do it in the unity of the Spirit.
You are to help me identify and involve and improve my spiritual gifts, and I am to help you, and we are to help each other. You are to help these people. They are to help you.
That's God's work. That's God at work.
So what gifts do you have that you can share with the work of building up His kingdom? Can you teach? Did you used to teach? Can you work with children in any way? All I do is just have fun with them. I don't do anything teaching. Can you do something with senior citizens? Can you lead a Bible study? Can you participate in a Bible study so that you begin to listen and hear God speaking to you about your gifts? Can you pray for a school and its staff and the children that are in there? Can you help out feeding the hungry or lonely in the neighborhood? Can you visit the sick and the shut-ins, those that are in prison? Identify your gift and ask God to help you put your gift to work so that His kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. And that will only become reality if we serve Him. Not for a day, not for a year, not only in our 20s or 30s or 40s, but for the rest of our life until He calls us home. What does God ask of us this day? He asks us for our gifts. Let us pray.
Father, help us. Help each one recognize the gift that we have for serving You. Help us discern Your will for using our gifts. And share with us the power and energy and commitment of the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us as we use our gifts in building Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.